Holy Spirit, we just thank you for being in our midst tonight. We thank you for speaking to our hearts directly in praise and worship. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're taking us higher into the third heavens. You're accomplishing all the works and the tasks that you want to accomplish with us. We release even more holy angels to go throughout this sanctuary, to touch your people, to bring them into a deeper understanding of who you are and what you're doing. We love you and we adore you. In Jesus' name, amen. So good to see you all out tonight in God's house. Glad to get a little bit of reprieve from the heat, but it would be nice for some rain, some steady, substantial rain. We need it. Tonight we're going to be talking about the bread of affliction. The bread of affliction. I believe that the Lord is going to call us into doing more fastings to get closer to Him. I don't know how all of this is going to play out, but I believe that we're just going to fast as a way of showing God that we are here with Him. I remember years ago, God had given me many personal words that I was going to fast and live a fasted life. And I see this starting to come to pass and starting to happen. In recent days, I've been yielding to the Spirit and fasting, and I didn't die. A lot of people think you're going to die if you fast. I remember when I first came to the Lighthouse, God would call us on 40-day fasts, and we would do them for periods of time. So it's something that I don't know if God's going to do that again on that level, but I just know that there's something special that God wants to do in an intimate way with you in your relationship with fasting. Fasting is a tool that brings humility to you as an individual. Fasting gets rid of your flesh and opens your spirit man to being able to sense and feel the presence of God with greater ease. And we're living in a society now where we're seeking the supernatural. We found out sometime this past week that they have a psychic that's down the street here. And people were going to visit the psychic. There was also some witchcraft that was done and is being performed against the churches. So there's a hunger for spirituality, but we need to have that spirituality on the side of Christ, in the Holy Spirit, not on the side of darkness. Fasting attunes our spirits to the Holy Spirit. God is spirit, and we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can find that in John 4:24. We're able to do this because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Learning to fully attune our spiritual eyes, ears, and hearts to the Holy Spirit will take discipline. It is virtually impossible to worship God in spirit when we allow our fleshly desires to run over the Spirit of God. Paul teaches us that the desires of the flesh are often opposed to the desires of the Holy Spirit. We find this in Galatians 5:16-17 in verse 24. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Fasting is one way to discipline our minds, our eyes, and our appetites in favor of worshiping God in the Spirit. The more we learn to overcome our fleshly desires, the more we can walk in self-control, worship, and spiritual discernment. As we fast, we become more aware of His Spirit leading us, because we have to lean on God to sustain us. In the times that we live in now, we need the presence of God to be around us continuously. You should not be afraid to fast. It should be a part of your normal relationship with the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 26 to 28. So the king of Israel said, "Take Micah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace.' But Micah said, 'If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Take heed, all you people.'" So when we talk about the bread of affliction, the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction, we do not mean any particular type of bread or water. The phrase means lack of sufficient quantity of bread and water. So there is a refraining from eating any natural food. In Micah's case, he was not voluntarily doing this. It was forced upon him by the king because he gave the king a bad prophetic word. That's what some people call it, a bad prophetic word. Micah spoke with "Thus saith the Lord" to the king, and the king did not like what God said to him. In the end, the king was killed, Micah was set free, and the word of the Lord that Micah spoke came to pass. Isaiah 30, verses 18 to 21. "Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He shall be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." So when you're looking at this passage of scripture, it's giving you an illustration of what happens when you partake of the bread of affliction. God is going to open things up for you in the spirit realm. In light of what God just taught about the mercy seat, I see mercy more now than ever before. I appreciate verse 18, "The Lord will bless those who wait for him." Fasting is a form of waiting before the Lord. Interesting phrases and groups of words that were put together here by Isaiah. These words reflect the benefits that come from eating the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Isaiah is telling us that God is going to teach us, speak to us, and you're going to have a knowing of what you're supposed to do. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Isn't that awesome? Not walking around like you're feeling around in the dark. God, what's really going on here? Fasting is going to open this doorway for you. No more guessing games. The presence of God will just be upon you. We're going to encounter grosser levels of darkness, and the only way to counter this is to fast before the Lord. It's just a given. It's something that you just have to understand as a child of God that it's a necessity for you to do. God made Moses eat the bread of affliction after the people sinned. Moses was up on the mountain with God getting the Ten Commandments the first time. While Moses was with God, the people went into sin. God sent Moses down, and those who needed to be killed were killed, and those who remained are what God worked with. And if you don't know the story, they decided that they were going to make a golden calf and dance around it and do a whole bunch of false worship. So God gathered all of those together who were doing this, opened up the ground, and they disappeared, never to be seen again. So that was a sign to the rest of the camp. God is serious, and he means business is what he's doing. So after this whole episode, Moses went back up on the mountain with God, and let's see what happens. God made Moses fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Exodus 34, verses 27 to 29. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. He wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. This fasting took place while Moses was in the presence of God. The presence of God caused a change in Moses that was visible to all of the people. Exodus 34, verses 30 to 35. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. It wasn't the fasting that caused Moses' face to shine. It was the presence of God. Pay very close attention, because you don't want to make an idol out of fasting either. It's not going to be the fasting that causes miracles, signs, wonders, exorcisms to take place. It's going to be the presence of God inside of us that will make this happen. Out of your obedience, God shows up on your behalf, and he reveals himself. If you're seeking to get a closer walk with God, then fasting is a necessary component in your relationship. Fasting sharpens you for spiritual warfare, and we need this right now. When our hearts and spirits are aligned with the things that matter most to God, we will be moved to continue Jesus' work in tearing down spiritual strongholds, to set the captives free, and give sight to the blind. This aspect of fasting is highlighted in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verses 1 to 7. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day. And these are all the things that are wrong to do while you're fasting. To make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? When you're eating the bread of affliction, this is what God is looking to take place in the inside of you. Verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. This is a powerful testimony of what God is going to be doing with us very shortly in the days ahead. We've been crying out because we want miracles. We want to see different things take place. This is the doorway. The role that fasting can play in spiritual warfare was demonstrated on one occasion when the disciples were unable to cast out a demon. Jesus explained that certain types of warfare require faith in prayer accompanied by fasting. Let's look at Matthew 17, verses 18 to 21. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. This is Paul. "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I believe that God will be challenging us more in the days ahead to get low in our spirit man's before him through the use of fasting. He will be putting in our spirit man to humble ourselves with prayer and fasting. Let's look at what happened with David when he did this. Psalm 69, verses 5 to 11. "O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel, because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children, because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. So everything that was going on within David's life, it was orchestrated by God, but it was meant to bring him into a low place. It was meant to bring him into humility. And David recognized that he needed to fast. He needed to afflict his soul in order for God to continue to honor him and to prosper him and to move him forward. We see here that David humbled himself with fasting. He made himself low by eating the bread of affliction, and this caused God to draw near to David. And this is what we want. We find throughout the Bible many key people who fasted. We see evidence that Moses, David, Isaiah, Peter, Paul, and Jesus fasted. They fasted to humble themselves before the Lord. Fasting is the key to producing humility in you and killing any pride that may be there. True humility operates as we learn to not think of ourselves at all. Fasting helps you develop an attitude of selflessness. You learn to take the focus off of yourself and place it on God. These are all good character traits that we need to have and have growing and working at all times. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Remember the Lord your God. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he, the Lord, humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make known, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. God allowed for the Israelites to be hungry in the wilderness. He did this to humble them. God will feed you the bread of affliction for the purpose of giving you a deeper walk with him. All of us in here have been asking God for this. He is teaching us with this bread the necessity of dependence upon him. It's humbling when you reach a place where you realize that you cannot provide for yourself. And if you've never been there, God bless you. But a lot of people right now are facing this situation. We are all going to be placed in this same position by God, but we must know that the purpose is for us to look to God for our provisions. God forced the Israelites to fast, but he is looking for us to voluntarily fast ourselves and humble ourselves before him. Let's look at Hosea chapter 13, verses 1 to 6. When Ephraim spoke trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended through Baal worship, he died. Now they sin more and more, and have made for themselves molded images, idols of silver, according to their skill. All of it is the work of craftsmen. They say of them, let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be like the morning cloud, and like the early dew that passes away. Like chaff blown off from a threshing floor, and like smoke from a chimney. Yet I am the Lord your God, ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of the great drought. When they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me. If you have been blessed and you know it, you should fast. And every one of us in here have been blessed. Part of Hosea's prophecy against the Israelites in the wilderness recalls their neglect of God. God says, when I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. Hosea 13:6. This is something that fasting will keep you from doing. The danger in having plenty is that we can easily forget God, thinking we have earned what God has blessed us with by our own work or merit. What is one of the biggest dangers of sitting under this anointing that God gives us all the time? Taking it for granted. Assuming that it's always going to be there. Assuming that the presence of God is just at your disposal whenever you want Him. That's one of the biggest dangers of flowing in the anointing, being in the anointing, sitting under the anointing of God. Because if you don't keep the proper perspective, you can miss God. What happened to Satan? He rose to a place in his heart where he didn't think that he needed God. And sometimes we have to be careful in the anointing because we can get an attitude of, I've got enough, I'm good. I don't need any more. I don't want to go any deeper. I don't want to get any more revelation. That's dangerous. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See this attitude that's there. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. This is what happened to Satan. Satan fell because he would not humble himself. We are going to have opportunities to fast. And fasting helps us focus our attention to God and keeps us from trying to live independently of Him, which is, as we just saw, what Satan did. Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 to 23. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek Him, but His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him. Verse 23, so we fasted and entreated our God for this, and He answered our prayer. Ezra and his people needed an answer, and the only one who could give it was God. They prayed and fasted, and God answered them. Fasting helps us seek God's will. The Bible also shows that the leaders in the early church received God's guidance on who to send out as missionaries after they fasted and worshiped, and then sent Paul and Barnabas on their mission after they had fasted and prayed some more. And you can find that in Acts 13, verses 2 to 3. Similarly, Paul and Barnabas also prayed and fasted for those whom they had appointed as leaders for other churches. You can find that in Acts 14, 23. These are examples of church members uniting as the body of Christ to fast and seek God's will for the work before them. Where God is taking us will take great humility. This humility will come through fasting. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when Elijah saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Oreb, the mountain of God. So God set this whole situation up for Elijah to get in a position where he was going to have to fast. God provided him food, and then that food lasted him 40 days, and he went on to accomplish the rest of the works that God wanted him to accomplish. This is supernatural, what God did with Elijah. God is going to do the same things with us. We're going to receive from God the ability to eat the bread of affliction. I want the deeper things of God, don't you? Fasting equips you to walk in God's enabling. God's enabling comes after our spirits become attuned to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prepares us to be vessels for God's pure love and empowerment. Jesus Christ, who came to the earth as fully man and fully God, fasted before he began his full-time ministry on earth. It was the Holy Spirit who led Jesus into the desert to fast, so as to prepare him spiritually for all that was to come, the first of which was Satan's deceptive wiles and temptations. During Jesus' time on earth, Jesus demonstrated great love, wisdom, humility, forgiveness, grace, patience, and power. He preached to huge crowds. He stood up to strong opposition, cast out demons, healed the sick, and raised the dead. This could not have been done based solely on his human flesh, but fully in his spiritual empowerment. Luke 4, 1-2. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Matthew 6, 16-21. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus instructs us on some important things when it comes to fasting. The part that I like is what you do in secret will be rewarded openly. By fasting, we're laying treasures up for ourselves in heaven. This has nothing to do with money. This is all spiritual, and these are things that God wants us to have. In closing, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 22 to 29. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. This is Paul speaking. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in laborers, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn, and I do not burn with indignation? Paul was expressing his heart, his love for God, his love for his people, but he showed how much he suffered on a regular basis. As we eat the bread of affliction that God is going to be placing before us, these are good examples, Jesus and Paul and the other people who fasted, and they serve as reminders that we're able to do these things. Do you have a secret place with God? Do you go away in secret and humble yourself before the Lord? These are just questions that I'm throwing out there to you tonight. Now is the time to tell the Lord that you want to eat the bread of affliction with him. God wants to touch those who are willing to eat the bread of affliction. He would like, if you're willing to do this, to take this step, for you to come up and to receive an anointing from him so that he can push you into the next level that he is going to be taking you to. The altar is open for those who are willing to eat the bread of affliction for the Lord to touch you.